It is time for another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. I am co-host Josh, the J-Man. Munt sitting next to me there in a different state is Tanner T-Dog Lee. How you doing on this frigid Monday night there, Tanner Man?
Not too bad, J-Man. Better than I have been the last few days. I got my voice back today. I was sick over the weekend, came down with something. I don't know, starting out feeling well Thursday evening. Fought through it, went to work Friday. Then after work Friday, got real bad to where I couldn't talk. My voice was gone. Gone Saturday. Came back a little yesterday, and we're back to pretty much normal with the voice today. Still not feeling 100%, but we're getting there. We're on the mend.
Yeah, you sound a little raspy. I'll tell you, a little raspy.
A lot better than I had. I mean, it was
that's good.
I could barely talk on Saturday, especially.
It was a rough day for you Saturday.
yeah, wasn't the funnest sports day. I guess the only positive was that Louisville beat Indiana
in
basketball, but I really could care less about that. But that's sports. You got good days, you got bad days. We'll talk more about both games, I'm sure. But, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing okay. It was a rare good sports weekend for me. Hadn't happened in really a while, it feels like. But can't complain. Cannot complain. We got another couple inches of snow on Saturday night. And we're up to like 15 inches on the season already.
That's a lot.
Which is crazy. Which, yeah, I mean, last year we had 9 total. So... I've been able to use my snowblower for the first time, which was kind of nice to be able to do that over the past couple weeks. But ready for it to slow down a little bit, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's winter officially starts, I believe, this weekend.
Next weekend.
Is it next? Oh, next weekend.
So 20th, 21st, something like that.
Jeez.
I know the solstice or whatever it is, summer solstice, winter solstice, whatever. Autumn, I don't know if they call it that, but I know when it ends and starts, but for the most part, I view like Thanksgiving as like the start of winter, essentially, even though it's technically still fall for another month. It's kind of like that with the summer too. Like, I view like Memorial Day as like the start of summer, not, 3 weeks later. But I need to get in contact with those people that make those decisions and let my feelings known.
Yep. I'm sure they'll listen to you.
Yeah.
I brought some birdie or bogey with me today for you, tonight for you. Let me pull it up here. NFL related question. Name the only quarterback in NFL history to make the playoffs with 5 different head coaches.
Wow, that's a good question. There's only one quarterback, huh? 5 different head coaches. Man, that's tough. Because usually if you're a good playoff-winning quarterback, you get your head coach sticks around for a long time, right? Too. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a rough one. For me, birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester. You can go check them out.
They had a weekend special right up the J-Man's alley in their smoked prime rib.
Oh, yeah.
Tender, juicy, packed full of flavor and served until they ran out over the weekend. So you were encouraged to make your reservations so you didn't miss out.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, the picture of it, I haven't ate yet, so the picture of it makes my mouth water. And you get a choice of 2 sides as well. So, yeah, looks good. So hit them up. You can't get anything. You can't go with anything. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with anything at the Arlington Public House, whether it's cuisine to eat or drinks to drink.
So. Man, I keep thinking about this trivia question, and I keep running through good quarterbacks in my head, and I'm struggling to even think of any that have played with multiple head coaches, let alone 5.
It's a tough one.
Dang, it's a good question.
So, yeah.
Who are we with tonight?
Let's start with college football. I feel like that's the hot topic around the sports world right now. Yeah. We know the 12 teams in the college football playoff, and we know the team, I was going to say teams, the team that most people think got snubbed. So if you didn't catch it yesterday, the 12-team field came out. Notre Dame Fighting Irish, not in the 12-team playoff, despite winning 10 games, 10-2 record, with all 10 of those being won consecutively in a row and probably being one of the hottest teams in the country.
Yeah.
You know, you look at this field, I think Vegas would have Notre Dame favored against all of them, but maybe two or three.
Yeah, I would say they were probably in the top three odds to win it all. Should they have made it? I do think there's legitimate gripe that they got snubbed, especially over an Alabama team.
Yeah,
who got in with three losses and just got absolutely whooped.
Even though I don't think you should penalize somebody for a conference loss, a conference championship.
No, I agree, and they say they don't penalize. But at the same time, they're essentially penalizing Notre Dame for not being in a conference. They didn't penalize Miami for not making their conference championship game. So that adds.
We've seen that in the past.
For sure. The reality of the situation outside of those first two wins, first two games they played where they lost to A&M and Miami. Besides beating USC, who else did they beat? That was really Pittsburgh was okay.
Pittsburgh was ranked at the time when they beat them.
And I don't think Pittsburgh won a game after that, did they? I think that started a slide for them.
If so, maybe they won one.
Yeah. Syracuse stunk.
Syracuse stunk. Navy's Navy.
Yeah.
Stanford stunk.
Yeah. NC State ended up not being very good. Yeah, the schedule is pretty weak.
Yep.
And that ultimately came back to haunt them, essentially. Sure. I think it sets a good precedent that, because there was this narrative going around that, well, the first week of the year, if you lose, it doesn't really matter. Or the first 2 weeks of the year, if you lose, it doesn't really matter because, you know, you win 10 in a row, you're 10-2, you're going to be in anyway. Well, the committee decided that, no. Those losses matter just as much as they do, you know, in October and November. And I think that's what it ultimately came down to. And I think they made the right decision to choose Miami over Notre Dame because that head-to-head happened. Like, it happened. And Miami beat them. And I think it would have been unfair for Miami to be left out in favor of Notre Dame when Miami won the head-to-head.
Yeah.
So it can go both ways. I think if you're choosing the best 12 teams, Notre Dame's in it for sure. And I think James Madison versus Notre Dame, you know, here in 2 weeks or whenever when the playoffs start, Notre Dame's going to beat them by 6 touchdowns probably, or even a Tulane for that matter. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they let these group of 5 teams in because really if they didn't, it essentially mean that their seasons mean nothing. Doesn't matter what you do. They mean nothing.
Yeah, they got to. And this is only I give the committee a little leeway because this is only the second year they've had 12 teams to figure out. Before that, it was 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, but now people are already calling for an expansion to 16.
Yeah.
No matter how many you expand it to, somebody's always going to be mad.
That's the funny thing because they said when people were so mad about the BCS system, they're like, once we get to a playoff, we won't be mad anymore. They expanded to 4 or they did a 4-team playoff. People were so mad. They're like, okay, if we get to 12, none of us will have an excuse to be mad. We'll all be happy. Seems like people are more mad now than they were back during the BCS days. So no one's ever going to be happy. You can expand it to 60-something, and people are still going to be upset. So
yeah,
it's an unenviable position and that I would not want to be in, that's for sure.
I'm interested to see what Notre Dame's AD is going to say tomorrow. He's holding a press conference. He supposedly came out today and said pretty much the decisions made in the last few days might impact their relationship with the ACC. Which from all the other sports, I'm thinking, wait, hold on now. Like, we got a fine relationship with the ACC.
Yeah.
You know, football's not even in the ACC type thing. I mean, I guess my question to you is, do you think this is going to change things with Notre Dame to make them potentially look into joining the conference sooner rather than later?
I think that program, especially the football program, obviously, it's all the football program, is so incredibly arrogant and entitled that they thought the ACC should just bow down to them. They're not in the ACC for football. Exactly. Why would they bow down to Notre Dame when Miami is in the ACC and they're fighting for one of their own to get in?
Yes.
Notre Dame's not. But they just think that they're God's gift to planet Earth. And everyone should bow down to them. And there, I saw it was some fan account that said he has sources on Twitter. You know how that goes. Said they are going to be pulling out of the ACC and every other sport, and an announcement will be made in January. Which again, I think it'd be hilarious. Excuse me. I think they'd go back to the Big East, honestly, which is a much worse Big East basketball is better than the ACC at this point. But I mean, it's a pretty much a, it's a basketball only conference at this point. There's no football in those conferences. And I don't know if it'll affect whether their football team gets to a conference at all. I think obviously the Big Ten will want them for sure. We'll see if maybe this softens them up a little bit.
I mean, they don't want to give up the NBC money. I get that. And I don't have numbers. I'm guessing they still draw for NBC.
If not,
why would NBC do this? Because Notre Dame's been to two national championships in the last 15 years. I get that. But they haven't won one since 88. There's been other programs that have won multiple since that time. But yet they're the only school that has an exclusive deal with a major network to televise all their home games.
I still think if they join the Big Ten, that revenue sharing would be so much higher than what they're getting from NBC currently. That's what I think. I don't know the exact numbers, but I just think they're so arrogant.
And they must think the NBC exclusivity. Thank you. Can't say I've ever really used that word before, but they must think that's a huge recruiting tool for them or something, because I don't know. I've always felt like, and I'm a Notre Dame hater, I'm not going to lie, I've always felt like no team should have that right to have all their home games on a network, or all the road games have to be national televised.
Yeah. And I'm sure it is a recruiting tool, but we've talked about this with other programs too, and they've been much better than some of these other programs we talk about, but they're so stuck in the 80s of being this, and it's still a very, very elite college football program. I hate the entitlement, and as I said earlier, that they think they just deserve these things. And now there was a report yesterday, which I don't really know how it works, how if they're ranked in the top 12 coming into the year, which they will be for sure ranked in the top 12, they get an automatic bid for the college football play. How does that work if they go 6-6, 5-7?
I thought it was at the end of the year if they're in the top 12.
I read that it was I think I saw it was top 14 at the end of the year, but top 12 to begin the year.
That doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
Record.
Yeah, I'm gonna go see if I can find it on Twitter, and maybe it was a typo or maybe I read it wrong. Let's see.
I mean, I guess my one of my last things about this is, yes, I think they are one of the top 12 teams in the country. Yes, I think they should have got in probably over Alabama. I'm not going to say they should have got in over Miami, because I think head-to-heads matter, even if it was week one. Notre Dame would beat Miami right now, in my opinion. Notre Dame would be favored over Miami right now, in my opinion. But if you take Notre Dame over Miami, you're already – I don't know what matters then if head-to-heads don't matter. And you
exactly
have to come out with a criteria eventually of what matters, what doesn't matter. So.
Yeah. Yahoo Sports. Notre Dame will be assured of making the playoff if it is ranked in the top 12 starting next year. Starting next year.
Does that mean starting in 2026, like this rules coming into play, not the start of season?
I have no idea. If the playoff is expanded to 14 teams and there are more at-large berths added to the field from 7-9, Notre Dame is guaranteed into the field if it is ranked number 13 or better, according to a memorandum signed by college football playoff officials last spring. So starting, is it next season or next year? So like if they come out with, you know, the poll at the end of the year, the college football playoff or the college football, whatever, playoff poll, after it's all said and done and they're ranked 12th and they automatically get a bid?
That's asinine.
It makes no sense.
Got to be this rules going into place next year to where if they're ranked in the top whatever at the end of the year they're in. Because if it's like you're saying top 25 and starting, no.
Why play the season if you're in the top 12? Yeah, I don't.
And I guess my last thing, I previously said one of my last things. Now I guess this will be my last thing about Notre Dame. As far as their bowl game, bowl games don't matter like they used to. I get it. But they matter to the communities that hold them. And the thing about them coming out when they did it yesterday, they do kind of look like babies taking their ball and going home. The thing that hurts them is it hurts your young players. You strip them of 3 weeks of development.
Yeah.
That's what hurts programs when they sit out ball games. Your Jeremiah Loves, your Prices, all those,
they're not gonna play.
They're probably going to sit out anyways. Yeah. But your young guys, your freshmen, your sophomores, they're probably chomping at the bit to experience another nationally televised game against a team out of conference. Well, Notre Dame doesn't have a conference in this case, but a team out of conference, get some bowl gifts because they get pretty cool gifts, get bowl swag, and just you get those 3 extra weeks of development, which is big for your program. So I get why they did it, but at the same time, I think it is kind of a bad look.
I also think it had a little bit of kind of a middle finger to ESPN. Sure. And hey, we draw a lot. We're not going to play on your bowl
games. And they think ESPN screwed them.
Yeah, that too, because of the old SEC bias, which has probably played a little bit of a role. But they're acting like crybabies, and it's kind of starting to get a little embarrassing, honestly.
Yeah. Really is. I mean, we've seen some other teams pull out of bowls, but they're like 6-6 type teams, 7-7.
Yeah. Their coach retired or got fired or something.
That they weren't the team left out, you know.
Yeah. And now Florida State a couple years ago had legitimate gripes. And they still, you know, with a terrible roster with all these opt outs, still went and played their bowl game, and they got screwed a lot worse than Notre Dame did. A lot worse than Notre Dame did. And,
my dad said it's starting next year, not the original poll.
Okay. Okay. So,
all right. But the 12 teams in the field, your number one seed, I never, ever thought I'd live to see the day that the Indiana Hoosiers are the only undefeated team in college football, the one seed in college football playoff, in the Big Ten champions.
Yeah.
Never, ever thought I'd see the day.
I said it that it's almost like if DePaul became the best team in basketball, but they won some titles back in the day. It's a better comparison. It's probably Northwestern basketball overnight becoming the best team in college basketball. I'm still in kind of shock that
it's the most remarkable turnaround I've ever seen in college sports, maybe in sports in general, with what Cincinnati's done there. I know it's a new day and age of college athletics, and it's easier to retool and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I'm one of the biggest IU haters out there, and I can't say a lot of bad things against them right now, because every time I pick against them, every time I doubt them, they just shut me up.
Yep.
And sure, Ohio State definitely had chances to win that game a couple times in the red zone, but that's part of football, man. You got to finish.
Yep. And it's absurd. 2 years ago, if we could have fast forward in 2023, we're doing this podcast in December, whatever it would have been at that time, and say, you know, IU's going to be the number one seed in the college football playoff in 2 years, I would have called you a liar.
I would have said, well, did every other university get blown up?
Yeah.
You know, we were making fun of Cinetti after he got hired because he's the Google Me comments, the Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue sucks comments. We're like, okay, you did real well, James Madison. Let's see what you do now in Big Ten football. And
he's backed it up.
He's backed it up and more.
Yeah.
I think he's the second best coach Indiana's ever had across the board already. In 2 years. So they're the one seed. They're playing in the Rose Bowl. Another statement I didn't think I'd ever say in my lifetime.
Have they ever played in a Rose Bowl?
In the 60s.
60s. That's right.
Yeah. And I know the Rose Bowl is not what it like used to be, where like Big Ten champ would go to Rose Bowl, but still they get to play there. They're hosting the winner of Alabama, Oklahoma. Your two seed is Ohio State. They'll face the winner of Miami, Texas A&M. Three seed, the Georgia Bulldogs, who they might be the favorite to win it all.
Yeah, they're good.
I don't know.
They held Alabama to negative 3 yards rushing on Saturday.
Got their revenge. They play the winner of Tulane, Ole Miss, which Tulane's coach is taking the Florida job, but he's staying with Tulane through this. Good. But you got to think, how invested is he?
He has a chance to win a national title. You'd hope he'd be pretty invested.
They're not going to win a national title. But I know
they're not.
You got a 1-12 chance, but yeah. I know. Ole Miss, they're trying to hold that together. Your fourth seed, Texas Tech, their sleeper, if there is a sleeper candidate, I guess, that a lot of people aren't really talking about too much. And they play the winner of Oregon and James Madison.
Yeah. I think Oregon might have the easiest road to get there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I know we could get into our, well, we'll save our predictions for next week because it starts next week.
Yeah.
I was going to say kind of how far I think each team could advance, but I think realistically though, Indiana is one of the, I think there's six schools that can legitimately win this.
Yeah.
And those six, in my opinion, Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas Tech. I'm taking Oregon. I'm not taking Ole Miss.
No.
I'm putting A&M in there. A lot of people are slandering A&M right now. Yeah.
No one's really talking about them.
No, which might be a good thing.
Yeah, of like the power, you know, the high majors. I've got basketball in the brain. The power four schools, I think no one's talking about Oklahoma. I think they're very good as well. No one's talking about A&M.
Oklahoma's got great defense. Their offense probably needs to show up a little more.
Yeah.
Alabama's got tons of talent. We know that. It's just this team was so interesting this year.
Yeah, up and down.
JMU, Tulane, great story. He's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, no. Not going to do it. And I don't believe in Miami.
No, I don't either. I don't think they'll win a game, honestly. I don't believe in Carson Beck at all.
Yeah. But it'll be fun to see the atmospheres in Oklahoma, in A&M, in Oregon, and at Ole Miss.
They're talking it could be a snow game in Oklahoma, which would be kind of interesting. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
So, but college football playoff, it's here. And ready to roll next week. There's only one game, the game of honor, Navy-Army this week.
Who do you think wins the Heisman? Because that's this week too, isn't it? Or is it next week? It's this week.
I think Mendoza wins it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he, I think it came down. I think Jeremiah Love deserves it. I'm going to keep beating that drum, but I don't think he will. I think the winner between Sain and Mendoza the other night was going to win it. Mendoza having that third down throw.
Yeah. Another thing we didn't think we'd ever say is an IU player winning the Heisman.
It's the nightmare that just won't end for me. I just can't wake up from it. It just, I don't know. I don't know if I could just stomach it to think about IU winning a football national championship before Purdue wins one in basketball.
Yeah, man.
Illinois wins one basketball.
Yeah, that'd be kind of rough.
Oh,
I don't think it'll happen.
I always thought we'd have to worry about their basketball team winning one.
Yeah. Maybe it's a football school now.
Last 2 years.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm happy for a few select.
Yeah. Very few IU select. Fans, so. Yes.
But once again, I'm coming out here again with this. I did it a month or so ago. If you're a fan that likes Notre Dame and IU, pick a lane. I was so sick of Saturday night seeing people post celebration for IU. Same people whining yesterday about Notre Dame.
Yep.
Pick a lane.
Yeah, that's annoying. It was actually just announced who the Heisman Trophy finalists are. And it's Mendoza, Love, Sain, and then Diego Pavia. He's going to be in New York. I don't like him.
Sorry, I don't know. My dog's doing something. I hear him getting yelled at. I don't know what he did. It's his birthday today. So
happy birthday, Johnny boy.
I'm guessing he destroyed his new toy he got. That's what I'm guessing, but I don't know.
Well, you have 8 years of experience in him doing that, so that shouldn't be too much of a surprise, right?
He did get a birthday bone. It was like a cake bone. That's the first time we've ever done that. He scarfed that down.
Nice.
I don't know. I just hear my wife calling him a bad boy, and I can't believe you did that. So be interested here in 35 minutes. Go see what he did. So, but yeah, going back to the Heisman finalists, that doesn't surprise me about that list at all. But I think Mendoza wins it.
So. Yeah, I do too. I agree. I'm not even going to put a J-Man's bucket on it because I think it's too easy of a guess at this point.
Saving your bucket in the holster.
I don't know for what. I'll figure that out. But
do you want to get educated?
I do, always.
All right, let me pull this on the stay up.
Actually, my pick six is Big Ten championship related, so we can go into that after you educate me.
Okay.
Pick six, blind rank.
There's going to be a lot of. I knew what we used to do. The pick six.
Yeah, a long time ago now.
Who on this day, 1948, who won the 14th Heisman Trophy?
48, was that Niles Kinnick? No, Niles Kinnick died in World War II. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I keep hearing my wife go off. I don't know what he did. He must have. I'm guessing what he did now. I'm really hoping I'm wrong. The 14th Heisman Trophy in 1948, on this day, 1948, was awarded to halfback Doak Walker of SMU. Oh,
yeah. Have an award named after him.
Yeah. On this day, 1960, the MLB's expansion team, Los Angeles Angels, signed a four-year lease to use Dodger Stadium.
They have not been to the postseason since 2012. And that's the only time Mike Trout has played in the postseason. I don't see him getting there ever again unless he asks for a trade.
Such a shame.
And it really is.
Such a shame. Let's see here. Oh, I did not know this. On this day, 1966, New York Yankees traded outfielder Roger Maris to St. Louis Cardinals for Charlie Smith.
I know that either.
Did not know that. I knew he played elsewhere, but. On this day, 1977, who won the 43rd Heisman Trophy?
77. What position?
Running back.
Archie Griffin was 66. Archie Griffin? Griffith?
He won 66.
76, yeah. I think. I have no idea.
Earl Campbell.
No. Texas.
On this day in 2007, who won the 73rd Heisman Trophy?
What year was that?
2007.
Heisman Trophy 2007 was 2007. Who won the Heisman? Troy Smith. He was six.
He was six.
Shoot. 2007. I'm drawing a blank.
Timothy Tebow.
Oh, shoot. That would have been a much better guess.
On this day in 2011, the NBA and Players Union reached a financial agreement and a 161-day lockout, shortening the season by 16 games.
They should have just kept it permanent, honestly.
They should have.
The lockout, not the scheduling. Just lock them out forever.
Until they bring the Sonics back.
Yeah.
On his day in 2018, who won the 84th Heisman Trophy?
2018 would have been, would that have been Lamar? Was he 17? Was he 16?
Lamar was 16.
18. What position? I'm terrible with Heisman.
Quarterback.
2018 quarterback. Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. Who was done with the Arizona Cardinals. They're not going to play him the rest of the year.
So. I don't blame him. He stinks. Yep. Be interesting to see where he goes.
Yep. And that's going to do it for the On This Day, which brought to you by Like It Has Been every week in 2025, Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana Grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tanner J-Man Show sent you, get 15% off your first order. Time's a ticking. Time's a ticking. It's almost Christmas.
I finally had something show up on my doorstep on Saturday. So
I'm getting frustrated. I've ordered a lot of stuff, but barely anything's come yet. So now I'm looking at the tracking. All right, this stuff's going to come in time, right?
Yeah, I had that happen to me last year where I couldn't get my wife a Christmas gift till like January 2nd, which stopped.
How long did you wait until you ordered?
I ordered it in November.
Okay.
Something that I don't.
December 20th.
It's something that I'm pretty sure she threw away when we moved. I haven't seen her wear it once since I got it for her.
Which, and you and Doug Heffernan have a lot in common.
We do, and she's got a lot of carry in her too. The way she busts me up a little bit, but
that's good. That's good.
Yeah. But as I said, Blind Rank is Big Ten football championship related. I have 5 most valuable players of the Big Ten championship game here over the past. How many have they had now since 2011? So that'd be about 15 of them.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can name it 5 off the top of my head.
No, there's a lot of guys on the list. I'm like, I recognize the name, but he didn't do anything. But I have 5 guys here you will recognize.
Okay.
You can rank them however, whatever criteria you want.
All right.
Starting with Aiden Hutchinson.
I'll rank him on college career.
Okay.
Aiden Hutchinson was a beast in college, even more so in the pros.
Yeah.
Michigan man through and through. Grew up a Michigan fan. Played for Michigan, now plays for the Lions. Pretty cool story. Game changer. I'll put him at 3. That's always a cop-out, but I feel good at 3.
Okay. Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, better college career than he's been a pro so far. He was a good one at Ohio State. He was a Heisman finalist in 2019. Kind of gets forgotten about, I feel like. You go back, Ohio State quarterbacks. I mean, Troy Smith, of course, won it. Then you had Terrell Pryor, Braxton Miller, JT Barrett, of course, Cardale Jones.
CJ Stroud.
C.J. Stroud,
Dwayne Haskins.
He kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Then Fields after that. I'm going to put him at 4. He was pretty darn good.
Russell Wilson.
Had a feeling he was coming.
Your boy.
I still think he is a Hall of Famer, but I think he's hurt himself.
I agree.
It's hard for me to – I only remember him 1 year, and that was at Wisconsin. It was a heck of a year. But the rest of his career is at NC State. Nobody really talks about it. Whole pack of Badgers, as he used to say.
Yep.
I'm going to put him at 5.
Okay. All right.
Got 1 and 2 left. Oh, boy.
He was the inaugural MVP this first year.
Is that when they smacked Nebraska?
I believe so, yeah. 4th guy I have on this list is Connor Cook.
Yeah, I wish I left that 5 spot open.
You could argue his career at Michigan State was better than Ross at Wisconsin.
He was good. Cousins was a good one. They've had some decent ones. Connor Cook was back up in the league for a while. Had a start for the Raiders down the stretch when they were having a really good year. And Derek Carr went down with injury. They've been bad ever since. I'll put him at 2.
All right. Last guy here, current Denver Bronco. I think he's on the injured list. J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins is on the injured list. He got hurt with a hip tackle against the Raiders, not yesterday, but earlier.
Typical. Dirty.
Hoping he can come back in the playoffs, but there's no guarantee. The running game's not the same without him, but he's my number one. Honestly, I remember him at Ohio State, but I don't remember him as a standout.
Yeah.
Just because they have so many good players. When I think Ohio State running backs, my mind goes way back to 2003, the 1 year Maurice Claret.
Yeah.
Then I think of Beanie Wells, or I think of Henderson last year. I mean, very good, but I would not rank him at number one.
Eddie George.
Archie Griffin, if we're going way back in the day. Rod Smith, which I'm not going to talk about that guy. if I had to re-rank, Hutchinson be 1.
Yeah.
Then I'm going with, I think I put Fields 2.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably put Russell Wilson 3. Cook No, Dobbins 4, Cook 5, I think. I don't know. That's a tough
one. I think that's how I'd rate him, too. I think Hutchinson and Fields are a clear 1-2.
Yeah.
Based off just college
career. I need to stop going with 3 on the first. It screws me every time.
We do kind of try to stump each other a little bit and kind of make our list a little bad. But
I need to start thinking how J-Man thinks, but that's scary.
That's a very scary thought. it's mainly just Baconator. Baconator, Baconator. That's kind of.
And you're not even as big a Baconator fan as you used to be, right?
No, I don't eat Wendy's all that much. We got a lot around here that Wendy's kind of takes a backseat to, which I'm okay
Popeyes,
with.
Popeyes, Popeyes, Popeyes. That's how my mind works.
I love Popeyes.
It is good. It is good. But if you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weisberg a call at 574-210-3815. Let's talk some college hoops.
All right.
A little bit before we get into the NFL. Good weekend for you. Like you said, Illini get a win over 14th ranked Tennessee at the time. My Boilermakers got shellacked at home by then number 10 Iowa State. 23-point loss at Mackey ties the biggest loss ever at home by a number one ranked team. Ties the biggest loss. I think it was the biggest non-conference loss in Mackey Arena history. It's not that they lost, even though I thought they were at this point, I thought they were going to get through their non-conference slate again undefeated. It's not that they lost. It's the way it happened in at home. I just didn't see it coming.
It's rare to see, you know, any loss at Mackey, let alone, as you said, a 20-something shellac. And I turned it off. I went and did something when I think it was tied or maybe Iowa State was up 1 in the first half or something like that. And then I look at my phone, we get a text from our friend Evan Webb that goes, man, it was something like, this is about how I thought it'd go. And I just thought he was being dramatic and Purdue would be down like 5.
He was down real bad.
Because he tends to be a little hyperbolic. Love you, Webby. And then I check my phone, they're down 18 with about 12 minutes. Like, holy crap. That shocking is a good word to use because I don't think anyone could see that going.
It reminded me, no matter how good your team is basketball is a pretty simple sport. Mm-hmm. You don't make shots. The other team makes shots. Yeah. Games can get out of reach in a hurry.
Yeah.
And that's what happened, unfortunately. I mean, they were lucky to be within 5.5. And then Iowa State just took it to them in the second half. And Purdue, for a veteran team, they looked inexperienced. They looked rocked. That's a little worrisome, but I'm not worried or concerned yet. Oh, I think they'll bounce back this week. I would not want to be Minnesota.
I wouldn't
want to be Marquette coming in Saturday.
Both teams stank.
I think it's a good bounce back week for Purdue. But they got to take care of business. I mean, they needed Braden Smith's best. They didn't get it. They needed Trey Coffin-Wren's best. He was non-existent. Fletcher Lawyer off. I can't say anybody played good. Yeah. Everybody played bad. And Iowa State was a team nobody's talking about. Now they're on everybody's radar.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Purdue and Purdue fans, that game just had to be at noon on CBS before a jam-packed sports day. So a lot of the nation got to see it. So.
Yeah. It's one loss.
Rather happen in December than February or March.
Yep. Absolutely. It's whatever. Who cares?
But it just got out of hand. It just kind of humbled me a little bit. Like, even though this Purdue team's good, it's basketball.
I was thinking earlier last week, I'm like, Purdue might go undefeated.
I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. But then basketball has a way of humbling you. Smith, TKR, and Lawyer won't play that bad together the rest of the year. Usually one guy steps up if two guys are playing bad. But
the Mackey crowd never got in. They couldn't get into
it. Yeah, couldn't get
Every
into
time
it.
They tried, Purdue couldn't give them an answer, and Iowa State, combated that.
Yeah.
Because my dad went to the game, and he and my uncle left, I think, with 3 minutes left. Yeah. Just rare. It was Purdue's first non-conference home loss since – they lost to Texas in 2019.
Yeah, it's been they don't lose many home games at all. So it was it's not shocking. I honestly, it is shocking that they lost at all.
How they
lost was the real shocker. Yeah. But it's a get right week for them. I mean, they get, you know, a bad Minnesota team who did beat Indiana this week.
Indiana had a bad week.
Yes, they did. On the hardwood. Yeah, who they got court rushed against Minnesota.
And 14 people.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Marquette's one of the worst power teams. I mean, it took overtime that was DePaul. They struggled with a real low major. Marquette did and found a way to win. But
yeah, Shaka's losing it up there a little bit.
Well, he refuses to use the portal. In fact, he had a quote before the season said we don't use the transfer portal. We use the transformation portal is what he called it, and how player development, how his players transform year to year. Because
it's fine doing that, but still plugging in holes with the portal.
And it's backfired on him hard. Yeah,
maybe
he
should just quit coaching.
What's Iowa State up to now? They got to be like top three.
I knew,
right?
Purdue fell to sixth. Yeah. I got to think Iowa State's top three.
Has to be. I mean, although Michigan's one, and then I'm sure Arizona's in that top three as well because they smacked. They played Baylor. I think it was Baylor.
Arizona's one.
Arizona's two. One. Michigan's two. Okay. All right. Michigan's just killing everyone.
So Iowa State is now. Four.
Well, all right. That's still quite a big jump from 10 to 4.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
But, Illinois' game, it was so nice to have a week off in between, get guys healthy. I mean, they'd had those injuries. They barely practiced together as a team, and then they got 8 straight days of practice. And they looked a little rough early. They were down 2 at halftime, but they were getting killed on the boards. Offensive rebounds had that. Tennessee had, I think, 14 or 16 second chance points in the first half. And so Underwood hammered that home, and then Illinois was able to pull away. I mean, you've played Tennessee so much in basketball. And
we started home and home with them next year.
Another one? Yeah. Now this is the third straight year Illinois played them, so they're very familiar with each other. And none of the games Illinois ever played with them have been very pretty because they bog it down and super, super physical.
Oh, yeah.
This Illinois team, I think, has a very high ceiling. And in the second half, they played fantastic basketball. Kylan Boswell was great. Tommy Avisic, for the first time since injury, looked kind of himself. But the guy that really stands out is Keaton Wagler. He's a true freshman. He reminds me a little bit, not player-wise, but hype-wise coming in, he reminds me of Braden Smith. I mean, Braden Smith was like a 3-star ranked guy outside of the top 150 on most recruiting services. And what was his second best offer, Braden's?
MAC level.
Yeah.
And Toledo, I think.
Yeah, Keaton Wagler was ranked 260th in his class. His only other two high major offers were DePaul and Minnesota, and yet in the summer, that he's all we heard about, which is kind of like Braden Smith as a freshman. Yeah. So you kind of roll your eyes like, okay, it's just coach speak, you know, that sort of stuff. And that's what I did, because Brad Underwood is the king of saying outrageous stuff. I mean, I always go back to him comparing Andre Curbelo to Steve Nash. So kind of take what he says with a grain of salt. But, man, he's been fantastic. He had 18 points, I think, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 0 turnovers in 34 minutes against Tennessee. And he and Kylan Boswell were able to hold Jacoby Gillespie, who killed them at Maryland last year, to 6 of 20 shooting. So it was a very big non-conference win for them. Now they have opportunity against 2 pretty good teams this week in the Big Ten, at Ohio State, and then newly ranked Nebraska in Champaign on Saturday. And then they get another 9 days off. Play Missouri and then Southern and then bang. But you look at Illinois' schedule to start in January, and they'll be favored their first 8 games at least in January. I mean, they get, you know, Penn State, Iowa, Minnesota, like Rutgers. So they really need to start hot in the Big Ten and 9-1 at the very least. Hopefully that's not going to happen, probably. But then their February is brutal. So, yeah, they got to start hot, and hopefully they can get, because they usually lose the first one, or they usually lose one of the two in December, kind of like you always say Purdue does. Illinois usually does too. Last year they lost to Northwestern. Year before, I think they lost to somebody, but yeah.
Yeah. Other news around the Big Ten. Michigan State lost a tough one as far as like a good game.
Yeah.
At home to Duke. Indiana lost to Louisville. I watched a good majority of that game.
I did too.
It's the first time I sit down and watch Indiana. Wasn't impressed.
No, that's also a Louisville team that was coming off a loss. And they're very good. Well, and they're very good. But
I mean, DeFreeze is good. They just aren't very physical. No. I don't know how that's going to transpire in Big Ten play.
Yeah, that was literally the first minutes I've watched of Indiana this year was against Louisville, and again they played bad, so that was probably why I was unimpressed with them. And maybe they'll get better, but yeah, they didn't seem like they had great athletes either. Didn't shoot the ball very well. They just were kind of
senior loaded. Start all five seniors. Yeah.
Which will probably help them come later in the season, getting all gelled together. But yeah.
Yep. Like I said, Michigan's up to number two now. They keep smacking people,
blowing everyone out. You know.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, conference play, got another dose of it this week, and then a couple weeks here and there in December, and then it's all full steam ahead in January.
Yeah. Definitely. So,
yep. Any other thoughts? College basketball?
Do you want to pick the Big Ten games this week?
Sure.
We have – I'll just do Big Ten matchups. We have Illinois at Ohio State tomorrow night on the Peacock.
I think Illinois gets it done.
Yeah. They're 3.5-point favorites. I think they win. If Ohio State wins this one, they'll probably be ranked next week. 8-1, Penn State at Indiana. Indiana. 13.5.
Indiana gets this one done. If not, then there's time. It's time to worry already in Bloomington.
Yeah. Penn State's played no one, which is why they're 8-1. Wednesday night, we have Minnesota at Purdue.
I think Purdue fairly large.
Yeah, Purdue by 30 plus. Wisconsin at Nebraska.
I like Nebraska home.
I do too, which would put them at 10-0 to start the season. Iowa at Iowa State. I think Iowa State kills them.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Saturday, we got a bunch of matchups here. Michigan State at Penn State.
Michigan State.
Michigan State large. Marquette at Purdue.
Purdue.
Same. Nebraska at Illinois.
Take Illinois in that one.
Peacock as well. What's up with that? I'll take Illinois as well. Indiana at Kentucky, finally. Kentucky's 5-4.
I think Kentucky gets this one. I think they almost have to have it.
Agreed. Already. Or they're going to be calling for Pope's head.
$22 million. You got to start winning.
Crazy. Yep. Michigan at Maryland.
Michigan in a rock fight.
Maryland stinks. Give me Michigan large. And then we have UCLA at – no, it's in Seattle against Gonzaga, who looks pretty dang good so far.
Yeah, give me the Zags.
Same, and then that'll be it as far as Big Ten big games.
I do, since we're getting into the NFL, I do want to talk about this breaking news. Came across my phone. Adam Schefter reports with Daniel Jones out for the year and Riley Leonard week to week with strained knee ligament. The Colts will work out Philip Rivers on Tuesday. Rivers' birthday's today. He turns 44 years old. Last played in the NFL in 2020.
That's got to be fake, right?
No, it's they brought up Aaron Lynch, our good buddy, also texted me this. They talked about Monday Night Countdown.
Oh my gosh. I hope so, man. I hope so.
What else do they do? I mean, not saying like Rivers, but they got to go get somebody.
They're done. I think they are just lose out. I think they were done if Daniel Jones was completely healthy.
I don't see a way they win a game.
Yeah,
they're 13.5-point dogs against Seattle now.
Good
and,
Seattle
team. We've been saying for weeks, like, be careful, Colts. Like, Jaguars and Texans are on your heels. And
man, that Texan defense is nasty.
It is nasty.
Oh, my gosh, it's good. Three winners, three losers.
You can start.
I'll start with the Houston Texans.
Sure.
That defense D'Amico Ryans has put together is absurd. It is so good. And their offense is doing just enough scoring. If they score 20 points, I think they feel pretty dang good. 17 points, I think they feel pretty good about their chances. They're one of the hotter teams in football.
Yeah, they're hot. Last team to beat them was Denver in Houston. Yep. Game Stroud got hurt, but that was a game that Denver's offense did enough to against that great defense. So I don't even think that defense got to Knicks that day, though.
They're getting to everyone now.
Yeah, but – Denver's off line is pretty good too. But they're hot. And I got thoughts on Kansas City here in a bit. All right. A minute. One of my winners, Buffalo Bills. Just when I thought they were going to lose a game, which couldn't really afford to lose, because I'm like, oh, they might slide out of playoff contention here soon. Found a way to get it done against Joe Burrow and the Bengals in a snowy game. Pick six, then followed up by another pick. The Bills still scare me.
Oh, for sure.
They might be the team that scares me the most in the AFC playoff picture right now, just because of Josh Allen's experience compared to all the other quarterbacks that are probably going to get in on the AFC side. Well, Aaron Rodgers, too, if they make it.
It doesn't scare me at all.
I guess experience. That's why I meant experience, not fair. Scared level.
Seattle Seahawks, sluggish first half against Atlanta, and then they just poured it on in the second half. 10-3, and again, no one's talking about them at all.
Yeah, Seahawks are good. Seahawks are real good. Let's see. Another winner for me. I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers as a winner. That was a big game against the Ravens. Both teams were 6-6 going into yesterday, looking to try to win the North. I honestly thought whoever won that game is eventually going to make the playoffs, and I think the Steelers will, and I think the Ravens will miss.
My last winner, Green Bay Packers, win a rivalry game, a very good game there in Green Bay. And, yeah, that division's loaded besides Minnesota, although Minnesota did win yesterday.
I want to put the Jaguars in the winner column, but I'm not going to, but I will mention, I mean, 2014 on, they've won every single year in Jacksonville against the Colts.
That's crazy.
It's just wild. Yeah. But I'm going with the Saints on the road against Tampa. Tyler, how do you pronounce his last name?
I think it's Shuck.
Shuck. It's not spelled that way. That's why I always.
The Dolphins just played him last week, and I couldn't tell you how you pronounce it, honestly.
He played really good yesterday.
He did.
And bad loss by the Buccaneers. So
very, very bad.
I don't get it. Put the Saints in my winner category too often. So no. Put Saints up there.
Titans too. We could kind of throw them in there as well. But yeah. Three losers. Why don't you start?
You wouldn't know the Titans won by the media. Just
I know.
Praising Shadir.
Yeah.
Three losers. Let's see here. Washington Commanders.
Yes. They're on my list.
Like 31-0 by the Vikings. Yeah. I know Jaden Daniels played, then got hurt, but
he's a one hit wonder.
Goodness. The Commanders look bad. After playing pretty good against the Broncos, they looked awful yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Jaden, it was a cool story last year, but I think he's kind of who he is at this point, which is going to be an oft injured quarterback with the way he plays. But Indianapolis Colts have to be on there, right? Go from being the best team in the AFC to likely, in my opinion, missing the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I think they're done.
I don't know if they win another game. And Daniel Jones, now your quarterback, tears his Achilles. But again, I think Daniel Jones – did he tear his Achilles or is it just an Achilles injury?
Tore it.
He did tear it. He had kind of
– whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the same. He'd kind of shown back up and been the exact same guy he's always been the past 4 or 5 weeks. So
I don't know what they do with him because that was his only year of his contract. So
yeah, let him go.
Yeah.
The Achilles injury makes it easy for him, honestly, my opinion.
They are in trouble. And now they probably wish they had those 2 first-round picks back to the trade for Sauce Gardner.
Yeah. That was a very good deal for the Jets.
Yeah, if Jets draft smartly, they could turn it around.
But, yeah, they have 4 picks in the top 50, I think. Yep. So
they'll screw it up. It's the Jets.
Definitely will.
My next loser, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Losing a home game. Texans, the wide receivers didn't help Mahomes out. Who had 3 picks himself, but 6 drops. Big one by Travis Kelce. He looks washed.
He does. He's getting married, though.
June. Yep. Yep, congratulations.
You got to tune into that one, aren't you?
Nope. The Chiefs defense, really good last night, second half, but arrogant decision by Andy Reid to go for it from their own 31-yard line, and that's what ultimately cost them. So this Kansas City team's not what they have been, and
no.
I think it's safe to say at 6-7 they're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, if we were going to have a book it for the next 4 weeks or whatever, 5 weeks, that would be my book it, is the Chiefs miss the playoffs.
They cannot win AFC West now for the first time. They had 9 straight. Right. They're out of it.
That's so crazy.
The Broncos or the Chargers.
And the Chargers are falling fast.
They're two games behind going into tonight's game against Philadelphia.
My next loser is the Baltimore Ravens. They have not looked good the past few weeks and starting to catch up with them. Although I think they did kind of get screwed. I think Isaiah Likely, that should have been a touchdown. He made almost he got 2 feet down. He didn't secure it to his body, but that sure looked like
he didn't make a football move.
So how do you make a football move?
That means if I jump up in the air, catch it, land 2 feet like this, nobody around me is. It can be.
That's a football move.
That's. I don't know. These rules every week seem like they're bending.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't even know what to put as my last loser. I'm gonna throw the Falcons in there because they stink.
Yeah. My last loser is the Cleveland Browns. They say they got a franchise quarterback, but they lost to the worst team in the NFL. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
And Deshaun Watson's back in practice. So.
Oh, good for them.
Yep. Yeah. Week 15 games, Thursday night, Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Don't know which Tampa Bay team's going to come out, but I think they win. Give me the Bears. Give me the Bucs for 10.
And Mike Evans might be back for this game. Oh, if not, it's the following week. Nice. That'd be a big addition. I'm taking the Bucs for 11.
Yeah.
Washington Commanders at New York Giants.
Give me the Giants for 8. Both teams are bad.
I'm taking the Giants for 3. Las Vegas Raiders at the Philadelphia Eagles, who play tonight.
Eagles for 16. Raiders are real bad.
I got the Eagles for 12. I should have put Pete Carroll down on one of my losers for kicking that last second field goal. Some people say, oh, he's just trying to make the game look closer. Well, when the spread was anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5,
that's a little suspicious.
And you're down to what, 10, and you kick it? He's done that twice now this year.
Kind of a little suspicious. Yeah, it is.
I'm taking the Eagles for 12. I don't know if this is already enough. Cleveland Browns at Chicago Bears.
Bears for 9.
I got the Bears for 13. I didn't write down a number for this game. How did I not write a number? Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, gosh, which number am I missing?
Give me the Bengals for 2. I think Baltimore might be done after I said they'd come back and win that division, but they've looked bad.
I guess for this show's sake, I'm taking the Bengals for 9.
All right.
Got my 9-pointer. So, yeah. Arizona Cardinals at the Houston Texans.
Houston for 11.
I got Houston for 14. Yeah. Arizona's giving up. Buffalo Bills at New England Patriots. Big game.
Give me the Bills for 7. I believe in them a little more.
I got the Bills for 1. I think they get their revenge here. And as a Bronco fan, I'm hoping so. New York Jets at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Give me the Jags for 14. Brady Cook came in, undrafted rookie.
I didn't even know who it was. I saw Cook come in. I'm like, who's this guy?
He was terrible. Dolphins defense was great yesterday. Only gave up 3 points. Essentially.
Dolphins are playing some good football all of a sudden, Jay.
Jags for 14.
I'm thinking the Jags for 10. LA Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs for 5. I think they bounce back.
I got the Chiefs for 2. I think they bounce back at home, but I just don't believe in this team right now.
I don't either. But still the Chiefs, and they're scary.
Green Bay Packers at Denver Broncos.
Sorry, T-Dog, I'm taking the Packers for 4, mainly because I think you're going to pick the Broncos.
I'm taking the Broncos for 4, and I knew you were going to pick the Packers. So, actually, the Packers are favored by 2.5 right now.
Are they?
Yep. I think that's a freaking Nance and Romo game, I think.
Oh, that's brutal.
I think. Colts at Seahawks.
Seahawks for 12.
I got the Seahawks for 15.
Yeah, I should have put 16 on. I'm looking back. Oh, well.
Tennessee Titans at San Francisco 49ers.
Niners for 15.
I got the Niners for 16. Carolina Panthers at New Orleans Saints.
I got the Saints for 1.
I think that's the first time we've picked them all year.
I do too.
I got the Panthers for 6. Detroit Lions at LA Rams.
Rams for 3.
I got the Rams for 5. They looked good yesterday. Sunday Night Football was surprised this one didn't get flexed out, but it is the Cowboys. Minnesota Vikings at Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys for 13.
I got the Cowboys for 8. And Monday Night Football, Miami Dolphins at Pittsburgh Steelers.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I'm hedging my bets a little bit. Give me the Steelers for 6.
I got the Steelers for 7.
Yeah, Dolphins have not been able to throw the ball, although their rushing attack's been awesome. They've averaged over 170 yards rushing the past 4 weeks. So
if it was at Miami, I would have picked the Dolphins. But
I probably still wouldn't have, but yeah. J-Man's Book of Prediction Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comma, Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 209-869-4561.
And the birdie or bogey for the week. There's one quarterback in NFL history to make the playoffs with 5 different head coaches.
Is it Philip Rivers?
You got a birdie.
I wouldn't have got that if you wouldn't have said it.
I didn't want to say it, but I figured you were going to see on your phone, so I had to bring it up. Ah, that is awful luck.
He wasn't even on my radar until literally 5 seconds before I said it. I'm like, oh,
I didn't want to bring it up for that reason, but I thought you would see on your phone anyways. So, darn it.
I got lucky.
I don't know what five coaches. It'd been Schottenheimer, I think. It would have been Turner.
Frank Reich.
Right. Was he the head coach of Chargers?
Indianapolis.
Oh, Indianapolis. Yeah. Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Schottenheimer, Rivera, Reich.
Turner.
Brandon Staley?
Ah. Probably.
Yeah. That was a heck of a question, though.
Oh, what bad luck.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show, and we'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.